and gentlemen, welcome to Link Limited's Q4 FY25 results conference call hosted by SKP Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the management's opening remarks. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vaibhav Pachisia from SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pleased to welcome you to Link Limited's Q4 FY25 and FY25 results con call. We have with us today Mr. Rohit Deepak Jalan, Whole-time Director, Mr. N. K. Dujari, Director of Finance and CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Sancheti from Uritus Advisors LLP, the company's IR advisors. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Rohit Jalan, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jalan.
Thank you, Vaibhav. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for the investor call of Link Limited for the fourth quarter and full fiscal year of 2025. We are delighted to share that FY25 has been a record-setting year for our company, with revenue and profit after tax reaching an all-time high. These milestones underscore the strength of our strategic initiatives and the enduring resilience of our business model. In quarter four FY25, our operating income reached 15,393 lakhs, representing a robust 9.3% year-over-year growth and a strong 26% increase sequentially. For the full fiscal year, we closed at 54,348 lakhs, reflecting a healthy 7% annual growth. This performance was primarily driven by the sustained momentum of our Pentonic range, our key growth driver, alongside significant gains in the e-commerce and modern trade channels. Our operating EBITDA for the year came in at 6,440 lakhs, with an EBITDA margin of 11.8%, an improvement of 74 basis points over FY24. This was enabled by a favorable product mix, with the higher-margin Pentonic brand expanding its revenue share from 34.3% to 35.6%. This not only reinforces the success of our premiumization strategy but also reflects the strong brand loyalty we continue to build among consumers. From a strategic perspective, we have taken purposeful steps to future-proof our business and unlock multidimensional growth opportunities. Our portfolio diversification is progressing steadily as we expand beyond pens into high-growth adjacent categories such as markers, highlighters, and pencils. These extensions are closely aligned with emerging consumer needs and enable us to address a wider range of usage occasions, thereby positioning us to capture a significantly larger share of the writing instruments market. We are also actively exploring opportunities across the broader stationery market, increasing our total addressable market from 6,640 crores to 38,500 crores. We believe our strong brand equity, extensive distribution network, and innovative strengths position us well to gain market share over the long term. Aligned with the above strategy, we are consistently innovating and expanding our product pipeline. Building on our recent launches, including markers, highlighters, mechanical pencils, calculators, and several more, we are excited to launch a new wave of products in the coming quarters. These include premium gel pens, more ranges of markers and highlighters, designed for both school and office use, and other essential stationery items such as sketch pens, brush pens, fine liners, crayons, and so on. These planned additions reflect our commitment to building a more resilient and diversified product ecosystem under the Link and Pentonic brands, catering to a wider range of consumer needs. We are also seeing early traction in the export markets, which have remained resilient despite macro and geopolitical headwinds and evolving trade dynamics, including tariff-related friction in select geographies. Our ability to adapt pricing strategies, maintain supply reliability, and offer innovation-led differentiation has helped us sustain momentum and build strategic relationships overseas. Our strategic moats, deep distribution, brand-led trust, and continuous innovation remain our core differentiators, enabling us to play across both the mass and mid-premium ends of the market. To reward our shareholders and reinforce our commitment to value creation, the Board of Directors has proposed a dividend of Rs. 1.5 per share, implying a payout ratio of 23.5%, subject to shareholder approval. As we move forward, our focus remains unwavering to drive innovation, deepen market penetration, and enhance operational efficiency. With a resilient business model and a clearly articulated growth strategy, we are poised to capture new opportunities and deliver sustained value for all stakeholders. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Dujari to provide updates on financials.
Thank you, Mr. Jalan. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate for your presence at FY25 Link Limited Earnings Webinar. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being with us today as we walk through the financial performance for Q4 FY25. I am pleased to share that during the quarter, our operating EBITDA witnessed a robust year-on-year growth of 14.8%, reaching 1924 lakhs and delivering a healthy margin of 12.5%. PAT for FY25 increased by 11.2% YOY to 3804 lakhs, translating to a PAT margin of 6.9%. Operational discipline continued to be the cornerstone of our strategy, enabling us to generate 5690 lakhs in cash flow from operations over the full year. We also ended the year with a net free cash position of 1869 lakhs, an outcome that underscores our unwavering focus on financial prudence and maintaining a resilient, future-ready balance sheet. Looking ahead, we remain committed to delivering sustained medium to long-term growth as outlined in our Q2 FY25 earnings call. This outlook is underpinned by our well-aligned strategic initiatives and strong business fundamentals. Now I request to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth Services, LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have a couple of questions. So one is, since Mitsubishi has a stake in the company, does that in any way kind of restrict us to, onboard any other licensed brand, out with any brand basically which is outside the stable of Mitsubishi?
Hi, Resha. No, there is no such restriction. We already are representing Delhi, which is a stationery, you know, giant since 2019, right? So we don't see any restriction today or even in the near future.
So be it for pens or, you know, any such similar product, right?
So pens, if it is particularly about pens, see, we want to ensure that we don't onboard anything that's conflicting with our existing, you know, portfolio. So we will be cautious about that. We had distribution of Lamy in the past, which were, again, writing instruments, but they were, you know, in, more in the premium segment.
No, but I'm saying there's no restriction as such, right, in terms of a contract. If there is, a, you know, a pen brand, which probably makes sense in a different price and segment, are we, you know, can we actually do it is my question. Is there a legal agreement which bounds us?
No, there is no legal agreement that binds us, and it's our strategic call totally.
Right. And any royalty we pay for the Uniball sales?
No royalty is being paid for Uniball sales.
Understood. And, you know, the presentation talks about, you know, we are planning to get into new products, right? So can you just break up the addressable total, you know, the total addressable market of 38,500 crores that, you know, you've kind of quoted there?
So I don't have that immediately, the breakup, but we can share that information with you offline. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, these new products that, you know, like markers, highlighters and art materials, etc., that, you know, we are planning. So how would be the sourcing, or initially would it be outsourced, and then eventually once it achieves scale, do we intend to, you know, kind of get into in-house manufacturing? And also how do we see the, you know, path for the margins for these new categories?
So, see, the margins would be pretty much in line with, you know, our current existing, you know, margins. The markers, they are all, you know, our, you know, capex. So we have invested in, you know, designs. We the molds are owned by us. And we are initially outsourcing. We are getting job work done through, you know, OEM vendors or, you know, good factories who supply good quality products to several other brands.
Right, right, right. And so basically, yes, it will be at around 11-12% margin. So we don't see any margin dilution is what I understand from this. And also,
also the decision to do job work or to do in-house is always dependent on once we reach a minimum scale, then we,
the volume.
Yeah, volume, then we start doing it. But the molds and the design are always ours.
Yeah.
Right. And since they will be launched under Pentonic brand, safe to assume that it will not be a very mass market kind of a product range. Would that be a fair assumption?
So Pentonic, see, our starting price segment is 10 rupees. So we won't be having any product going below, you know, 10. So 10 is, I would still say it is a mass segment. And we only plan to go, so we have products at 20, 30, 40 rupee price points. So the direction is mass to mass premium. Yeah.
Got it. And if we talk about exports, can you just talk about, you know, like who would be your customers here, and do we appoint distributors in each country? How does basically the distribution work in exports? And also, you know, with this tariff situation, right, so how, what would be our exposure to the U.S. And how is the demand from the non-U.S. countries kind of shaping up in the current geopolitical environment?
Sure. So exports model, you know, basically is, you know, we appoint, or we rather work with exclusive distributors in all the countries we have a presence. And so mostly, I think almost 90% plus, you know, we are selling our own branded, you know, products. And we work with exclusivity, like I mentioned. Some of our key markets would be, you know, Brazil, USA, and Myanmar, although it is, you know, badly, you know, affected. And some countries in Africa, Democratic Republic of Congo, in Middle East, Iraq, Syria, and some more Southeast Asian countries.
And what would be the exposure to the U.S. market?
So U.S.,
so how much would be U.S.?
It is just below 10%.
Between 9 to 10%. North America is between 9 to 10%.
And have you seen any preponement of orders or shipments or things like that, especially in Q4 or even as we speak in Q1? And how you know how is the you know demand kind of shaping up there in the U.S.?
So U.S., you know, particularly, I think still there is a lot of, you know, uncertainty between, you know, all the business owners. And we have not seen any major, you know, impact in the last, you know, 1 month since this, you know, tariff situation arose. And we don't expect a major, you know, difference, because our sales to US is purely in our own, you know, brand and zero private label.
Right. And also what, you know, what would be the kind of margins that we enjoy in exports? And also in your presentation, I don't see China as amongst, you know, the top 10 exporters of pens globally. So is China a very marginal player for pens exports?
So China used to be, I mean, if you look at the last year when China was among the top 10 both exporter and importer, but somehow in this financial year, there's a slip out of that. These are government data. So probably the Chinese import has cut down. That also gives a huge opportunity for companies like Link to aggressively look at white labeling opportunities in these markets.
Yeah.
And why would you think that, you know, China has...
I want you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants for the third. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Himanshu.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yes,
please.
You are.
Yeah, so my first question was, for if you look at Mitsubishi, there are three global brands, Uniball, Jetstream, and Posca, okay? And with this new manufacturing capacity, do we expect new brand introductions to also happen, or it will be only new product launches in Uniball brand? And what is the thought on launching new brands in India? Because even if we look at the recent strategy presentation of Mitsubishi, they don't talk about these Jetstream and Posca in India, but the focus remains China, US, and Europe. So some of your thoughts will be helpful.
Sure. Hi. So Himanshu, actually, see, the company name is Mitsubishi Pencil Company, right? And they have, you know, several brands. I think Uniball is more like an umbrella, you know, brand. But they have more than what you mentioned. So apart from Uni, Posca, Jetstream, they have Signo, they have Air. So there are multiple, you know, brands. Each brand, they, you know, follow certain, you know, product strategy and, you know, technology behind, you know, each one of them. So all of these are clubbed under Uniball. So with the joint venture that we are planning in India, the products could be either under Signo or under Jetstream or under Uniball. So Posca is more like a marker brand. So right now we don't have any plans for marker range, but we are looking at the pen categories in the first couple of years.
Okay. And any dipstick study you have done on what type of potential positioning and marketing you would like to have for the new products from this JV? Because earlier we were to launch by July end of 2025. I think now it will be Q3. So any thoughts on where we are in these or on the positioning and marketing and potential type of products?
So see, at the moment, the products that are imported from Japan, the price segment for those products are 50 rupees and above. And the strategy for the joint venture is to introduce same quality of products at slightly lower price segment, which is going to be just below 50 rupees MRP. And secondly, our project is on schedule, and it is planned for quarter two operations and launch itself.
So it's not Q3, so I don't know.
There may be some confusion.
There may be some confusion, but it's Q3. Yeah, Q2.
Okay. Okay. And this is a slightly longer question, but if we look at the company, there are four, five things to be done in next two years, okay? One is get the right product and price point from Delhi portfolio and positioning and position Delhi as a large brand. Number two, make rupees 20, 30, or 40. These three product price points, the product introduced in Pantaloons, the success and scale up. Thirdly, scale products we will introduce in Uni brand or new products. And fourth, reintroduction of products in Link because there we have seen a volume have got impacted. And we stated in the last call that competition has increased in that segment. So we need to thwart the competition. And fifth, exports is a growth, and we want to introduce new products in Pantaloons brand beyond in writing instruments. That can be a six. How are you prioritizing your A&P budgets and sales and marketing teams? And are we increasing our bandwidth or some thoughts on that? And what are your three priorities? Let's say I stated six because I was confused, but you can give your priorities and how are you rationalizing your resources? Okay. So that was the first thing.
All right. Great question, Himanshu. So see, firstly, how our team, sales and marketing team, is structured is we have separate channel verticals, so general trade, modern trade, exports, e-commerce, and so on. At the same time, we have separate brand verticals. So we have a brand team for Uniball, we have a brand team for Link, Pantaloons, Delhi, and so on, right? So we have dedicated brand teams, and we have dedicated sales channels. So we've got, and of course, we are adding a couple of more people to the team as well as we have plenty of opportunities and projects. So the priority, to be frank, is, of course, not in all brands and not in all channels, but I would say we are identifying gaps and opportunities for a specific brand in a specific channel or multiple channels, right? So for example, if we look at Delhi products, so Delhi products are high quality and slightly premium. And we feel that, and because of the high ticket value for Delhi products, we feel that e-commerce channel is going to have highest opportunity and potential for Delhi. So our focus would be Delhi in e-commerce for next one or two quarters. Similarly, some brands are tagged to respective channels wherever we see, opportunities. And since we have dedicated brand teams and sales teams, they are working collaboratively to deliver results.
Just to also add that when we started the, LA, foray, we also realized that we need to equally be present on a slightly lower segment. Hence, there is a significant amount of bandwidth and focus which has come on the on-station products on the Link and Pentonic side as well. And both will complement each other because they don't cannibalize each other's market. Yes, the channel for both may be slightly different because as Rohit said that for Delight, we look at e-commerce as a large platform, but for maybe for lower products,
yeah,
it is a traditional channel.
Correct. Yeah. So if you look at Link, pens, for example, which are, 5 rupees MRP or 10 rupees MRP, to actually make them, viable on e-commerce, you need to bundle 30-40 units together to make a ticket size of 350-400 rupees, right? So, traditional channel is more, relevant, and strategically we are positioning products as per, channels wherever we see opportunities.
Okay. And see, one last question, then I'll join back in the queue. This 20-40 price point, we have introduced product, okay, in Pentonic. But the visibility for the product at the store and from our end also, it seems less, okay. And it is important for us to scale in the profitability what we have done. So where are we in that journey, and what are the marketing or let's say sales priorities for those products in Pentonic brand in this year, FY26?
Right. So 20 rupee and above, price points, we are actually, focusing on these, price points, and going as we move forward, we are having a lot of learnings. But if you look at, BRT and, GRT, we have done double-digit growth in FY25 as compared to FY24, right? So maybe, of course, they're not as per, expectations, but we are seeing, growth, and we know there are gaps which we are trying to fill as much as, possible, and we persistently are trying to do that.
And no new product introduction in Pentonic this year.
Join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting for their turn.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Suraj Khaitan from SKP Securities. Please go ahead. Suraj, kindly unmute your line and go ahead with your question, please.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, can you use your handset mode, please? Your audio is not clear.
Hello.
Hello, Suraj.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So, what will be the advertisement expense going forward as the company is planning to launch new products in the coming financial year?
So, we approximately budget about 2.5% to 3% of our top line as the advertisement and promotion budget, which we are continuing to do so and maintaining that.
Okay. And which pen category is expected to generate the highest margin?
Pentonic
has about 40% GP.
Yeah.
40 plus GP in Pentonic range of products. So it continues to be that way.
Okay. And what is the average realization per pen going forward?
We had a 10% increase this year. And going forward, we expect a similar growth in the average ASP.
So the average was about 6.2 Q1 over the last year, which was up from 5.67 from the previous year. So it's been a continuous increase. So we, and that's because largely because of the premiumization effort which the company has been taking. So the share of the premium product is increasing every year. And we expect to continue that trend.
Okay. And can you please elaborate on the e-commerce JVs and how will it work?
So e-commerce JV, just yesterday in our board meeting, we got the go-ahead and approval for this joint venture that we are planning. So we are close to now finalizing our agreements. However, we are looking at a 65-35 shareholding ratio, majority being with Link. And yeah, so it's going to be a small capital equity initially. And we aim to focus, actually, being a futuristic sales channel, the strategy behind this joint venture was to bring more attention and focus on e-commerce and quick commerce channels. And hence, we took this move to find a partner to help us grow this channel, build this expertise. Yeah.
I think just this is important because the company believes that this channel can really grow, especially with the kind of price segment that we are in. And to bring a singular focus on that, it was decided that we kind of join hands with an expert here to drive this channel. And really, it's more of a channel acquisition JV rather than, and it can really propel the growth there, which we all know that quick commerce is the future for the kind of price point that we are into.
Okay. And the last question, what is the?
Could you join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting for their turn? Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rakesh Wadhwani from Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead. Rakesh, can you please unmute your line and go ahead with your question, please? Since there is no response, we'll move on to the next question from the line of Shaurya Yadav from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, pardon me if my question is repeated. Just wanted to know how we are looking to increase our presence in makers, highlighters, and pencil segments. What is our right to win here? And sir, out of the total addressable market of 38,000 crores, how much share we are targeting in the next three to five years?
Sure. So Shaurya, for markers and pencils, we have already launched a marker brand called Swipe. And this we have launched so far in the Western zone only. So we got a range of permanent markers, whiteboard markers, permanent fine tip markers, highlighters, and we have a couple of more upcoming products under Swipe brand and under the markers category. If we look at pencils, we are launching mechanical pencils and also one or two variants of wooden pencils. So again, these are being launched as we speak. And these are all very recent launches from April last month. So if we look at just to address your question of, you know, right to win, I think like we have been focused on innovation and differentiation in design with, you know, best quality products, I think we brought similar, you know, thoughts and inputs to all the new products, you know, that we're launching. So we've got a Pentonic mechanical pencil, we've got a Pentonic SF pencil. So the product differentiation in design, in packaging, and quality, and even price segments, to be very frank. I think we feel, you know, there's opportunity because we've been, you know, late entrants, and we are confident that with the output and with the product that we have and we have developed, we will be able to make some inroads and gain some, you know, share.
And sir, like out of our total addressable market, how much we are targeting?
I think on the pens and the markers, I think it's too early to give a guidance on the market share that we have.
How much of the market?
I think going forward in next two to three years, I think about 50% of the TAM is something that we would be definitely addressing. That's the direction. Yeah.
50% out of
38,000.
50.
50 plus.
50. 50. 50.
Okay. And sir, like, what is the difference between cost of production of pens with having a price point of 10 rupees and above rupees 10?
Difference between cost of production?
Okay, below 10 and
above 10.
So, just to answer that question, the price doesn't linearly increase. So, as a percentage,
The cost of production varies between Link and Pentonic. Within Pentonic, a 10 rupee ball pen or a 20 rupee ball pen or a 40 rupee ball pen will have the same manufacturing cost as a percentage.
So
Link will have a higher manufacturing cost and Pentonic will have a lower manufacturing cost. Because they enjoy, Pentonic products enjoy 40% plus margin.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rohan Patel from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, Rohan. Can hear you. Can you use your handset, please?
Yeah, sure. Just. Yeah. Hello?
Yes, Rohan, please go ahead.
Yes, sure. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. So just in to the last participant, you said that you are targeting for next 2 to 3 years a market of, you know, kept addressing 50% plus of 35,000 total addressable market. So considering you have an aggressive target, plus you have done a lot of initiatives over the last 2 to 3 years. So seeing from current base of, say, 535-40 crores, top line, how will this shape say in next 3 years, considering also how will the margin improve as we are focusing on high value premiumized products?
So our projection growth outlook for next few years would be in the range of 15 to 20%. And if we talk about margins,
I think with every 10% increase in the top line, we will have a around 100 BPS increase in the EBITDA margin.
Yeah,
so that is the formula, more or less the formula we adopt. It can vary a little bit here and there, but it is more or less in the same region.
Okay. And
this happens because of operating leverage.
Okay. Okay. And do you see the working capital intensity to be same or it can increase or?
I think as far as working capital is concerned, we will again enjoy operating leverage.
Okay.
So the larger the top line, we'll have lesser number of days as inventory, and debtors will be more or less same.
Okay, yeah. And just to dissect and put a, you know, last question over in front. So, considering all these initiatives, working capital reducing, increasing the margin, operating leverage, so can we see that all the projects that you are taking would be a ROC accretive? Like, what kind of ROC do you target when you bring up such initiatives and payback period for same?
All the projects which we have undertaken will be definitely ROC accretive, and the ROC benchmark for us is whatever we are achieving right now. It has to be in addition to that. So that is our minimum benchmark.
Okay, yeah. So thanks for the opportunity. You answer all my questions well. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rohan.
We'll take our next question from the line of Rakesh Wadhwani from Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question with respect to the average realization. We have done very well with respect to the average realization for the pen in the Pantone brand as well as in the Link brand, continuously improving. But at the same time, our volumes are not growing. Any reason for that?
So, Rakesh, if we see, yes, our overall, you know, volume has seen a drop. So if we look at, you know, brand-wise, so Pantone volume has, you know, grown close to 10%. Univol, marginal, very marginal growth. The drop in volume is mostly coming from Link brand. So now some of the reasons is, you know, we are developing, you know, a lot of, you know, new products, and focus being on, you know, higher margin products. We are actually left, or, you know, it's actually a cycle, you know, so there is a tail product. So when we analyze, we look at products which are really low in volume. We look at products which have very low or negligible, you know, margins. So we are basically discontinuing, you know, some of those products continuously. So I think that is one of the, you know, reasons for the drop in volume.
Okay. Sir, thank you for the answer. Is there further room for that average realization should increase, or now the growth will come from the volumes only in the coming quarters or years?
So, no, definitely, if you look at, you know, the trend, we, you know, wish to maintain, you know, the trend in growth of the average realization.
So, just to answer here a little bit, adding to what Rohit has already said is, you see, our focus on premiumization is continuous. So that impact will continue to come at least over the next 2 to 3 years till we reach the optimum level of premiumization.
Okay. Okay. The reasons are asked because we are doing very well with respect to the realization premiumization, but that effect is getting nullified with the declining volume in the revenue. That is what goes.
I think that's a transition issue.
Yeah.
Because we are also getting rid of a bit of a tail. So I think once that stabilizes, you will start seeing the growth.
And this also helps in, you know, operational efficiency. So, you know, hence, you know, the strategy, economies of scale, basically.
Okay. Okay. And then with respect to the export sales from the last one or two years has remained in the same range of 100 crore for the full year. What is your thoughts on the export? First of all, why it is flat from the last couple of years, and what is your thoughts for the coming years? How the growth will come from export?
Sure. So yes, for last two to three financial years, we've been quite stagnant. Some of the reasons are basically some countries every year basically they go through certain headwinds. So in 2023, two of our top five countries were very badly hit. One was Sudan because of civil war, and second was Myanmar because of political situation then as well. So we are constantly endeavoring to enter new markets, at the same time grow our baseline in existing markets. So despite losing, I would say, a couple of million dollars from just those two countries, we were still able to grow and maintain the revenue in exports. And we believe that things will get better, and at the same time we are focusing more on stable markets, stable countries, and that's the roadmap for us.
Yeah, but in spite of some of these challenges, we will see that in the last financial year we've still grown literally at the same rate where the company has grown, about 7%.
Yeah, 7%.
We have grown on export. Yes, we're not happy with that, and hence the company is focusing on more stable markets, and hopefully going forward you will see better.
In the coming years, the sales growth of export will be aligned with the domestic business. Can we assume that?
We will come back with a more specific guidance on the next year, in the next quarter. But our endeavor is to grow the export market slightly faster than the Indian market.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Aradhana Jain from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, Aradhana.
Yeah. Just a couple of questions. One, I wanted to understand that last year in FY24, the contribution of pens in the rupees 10 and above was around 62%. However, if we see this year, it has come down to around 52%. What is the reason for that when we've already gone into the whole premiumization phase and our average realizations have increased? Then why has the contribution of rupees 10 and above reduced year on year?
I think we will go into this.
We'll get back to you, but I probably think that because there was a value increase in the link segment last towards the end of last year, we'll get back to you on that, but probably that could be a reason. But let me get back to you on that.
Sure. Second, I understand that we are coming out with more stationery products in the Pentonic brand, but what is the roadmap in the Delhi brand? Are we also planning to come out with more stationery based products under that particular brand?
Yeah, so with Delhi, we are primarily focusing on office stationery products, and little bit of subcategories within school stationery as well. And yes, we have a couple of new launches planned for this financial year under Delhi brand.
So in FY26, what sort of growth can we expect from the stationery segment, which is, I guess, sub 10% as on date for us? So do we expect the share of the stationery to maybe rise to 15-20%, or what is the sort of guidance for FY26 and FY27, given that we are launching new products under Pantaloons, Delhi? So any thoughts on that?
We are not guiding for the next year as of now. We will obviously come with the guidance next quarter. But for the medium term, which we said that our overall growth in the company is expected to be top line to be 15%-20%, we believe that the growth in the stationery segment should be outpacing the growth of the company. At this point in time, this is all that we can say.
Okay. Just last question from my end. Any guidance or what is the plan on the CapEx front for FY26 and FY27, given that we have so many things in the pipeline? So are we planning to do a major CapEx towards anything? And what is the status on the modernization facility that we were doing in the Calcutta facility?
The modernization work which we are doing for a new facility near Kolkata is progressing quite fast, and we expect it to get completed by. We are targeting quarter two, but I think quarter three will be a safe date for the completion, although we are targeting quarter two.
Okay. How much CapEx have we done?
I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Resha Mehta from GreenEdge Wealth Services LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. So I was asking on the export bit. So what, in your assessment, has led to China slipping from the top 10 in the global pen export space?
Difficult to say, actually. This is based out of external government data, and it was a bit surprising ourselves.
So we checked it a number of times before we actually went ahead to put it. This is the data from UN Comptroller database, which is a global database which everybody uses.
Right. No problem. And got it.
Nothing.
Yeah. And what would be our margins in exports? So would it be safe to say that it would be much higher than our company average of 11.5%-12%?
Yes. So export margins are actually higher than the company average, definitely.
Got it. And distribution, so if you could just quantify that, what is our total reach of that? How much is the direct reach? And also, how has been our experience in the non-stationery stores, which we kind of ventured into in the post-COVID era?
Sure. So our active direct reach is roughly around 70,000-80,000 outlets. And I would say most of them are stationery outlets. With the non-stationery outlets, the frequency is very, very slow. So we were expecting monthly frequency, but that has not really happened as per our expectations. So we have our team, of course, visiting non-stationery outlets based on data that we have. So we maintain the frequency accordingly, but they are just, of course, they are not going to be selling big range and big volume. So they are selling a very limited basket, just a couple of SKUs.
So of the total 70,000-80,000.
Join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rakesh Wadhwani from Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead. Rakesh, we are unable to hear you. Please unmute your phone.
Yes. Yes, sir. Am I audible now?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Sir, with respect to the realization increasing continuously, but one point that I've observed that the gross margins are not increasing. Just any reason for that? Because in the past, whenever the realization increased, it was reflected in the gross margin also.
This one.
I think the restructuring exercises which we have done will help us in improving the gross margin going forward. And you are right that till this year we didn't have much of increase in the gross margin, but the reduction of whatever we are doing is going to come going forward.
And thank you. And the second question with respect to export, are we looking into addition of a new countries or new markets? Are we in discussion with a new distributor which are supplying to new market where we are not there?
Yes, that's always ongoing. So there are still some focus or potential countries, markets where we don't have presence, and we are actively looking for distribution partners in them and other remaining countries.
Okay, that's it from my side, sir. Thank you and best wishes always.
Thank you, Rakesh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Jalan for the closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
So thank you, everyone for joining us today for this investor call of Link Limited for the fourth quarter and the full fiscal year. And we are, continuously, driving new initiatives, strategic initiatives to deliver maximum shareholder value. And we look forward to seeing you all again next quarter with much better results. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
On behalf of SKP Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.